wait. I do want to say that Z units are made of steel, whale meat, human entrails, and pure author appeal.
Oh, God. So,
they are pretty much the result of me looking at Metal Gears, the stands from JoJo, and Frankenstein's Monster.
So that's what gave me indigestion.
Thinking, wow, I should put these all together in the most badass way possible. Anyway, that's what Z units are.
Extra credit, the Cucumber Richard of podcasts. The snakes in the ball pit tonight are Goop,
Hogwarts, Button Canada,
Ganymede.
I like the idea of web browsers as different philosophies or religions.
Eldritch Hat.
As for people who do bubblegum pop, I guess it produces gum bubbles and other things made of gum.
Sham, bam, bam, and
F plus rank. Regular humans with advanced skills, combat skills, medical skills, and so on. Essentially high end badass normals.
Shell game?
Under Hollywood history, all but historical Mexican, Central, and South American nations are lumped into one exotic and often barbaric people, the Mayincotec, featuring aspects of the Maya, Inca, and Aztec, plus many others, especially the Olmec, one of the oldest.
Nutshell Gulag?
Look at Atlas Shrugged and the Lord of the Rings. Very intricate world building, and they became beloved classics because the reader could sink into the story like a large, comfortable, overstuffed couch.
Fuck you.
And Amelia Blank, who has nothing because Nutshell stole horse.
Oh, no!
That's awesome.
Well, she is Ayn Rand.
Very good taste.
It's fun. Oh, that post is by Truick, and he has zero words.
Nice. Yeah, after reading that, I've got zero words, too.
Ooh, but you do have artillery powers. Revert reptiles are abhorrent.
Hi, Extra Credit.
Hello.
Hi. Hello,
hi.
Amelia.
Hello.
So, how's your NaNoWriMo novel going?
Done.
Abandoned day one.
Never started, never finished.
I am not a writer.
Oh no, I finished that shit on the second day. Mm-hmm.
Wow, Goop.
Yeah.
I have an 80,000 words fanfic that I could turn into.
Mine is a version of The Sound of Music done entirely in the style of William S. Burroughs.
I've been writing way too much bullshit for Thunderdome to actually write a novel.
NaNoWriMo is where you write a novel a day, right? Because that's what I've been doing.
That's what Stog's been doing, I think.
Nice. Mine's about horses.
Hell yeah!
Well, since we're all so literary, I think it's best that we look to other writers for their input. Forums and websites are pretty popular when it comes to world-building posts and discussion.
That is the most important part of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And to clarify, when you say writers, you mean people who have written, like, anything.
Mm-hmm. Writers in the... That's their ambition. I don't know if they've actually finished anything.
In the theoretical sense.
Well, forum posts. You can give them credit where credit's due there.
No, I think those are machine learning.
Damn.
So Sham Bam Bamina here has put together a document on various websites where people can post their world-building ideas or ask for help or what have you. And of course, we're going to start by going to the most helpful place on the internet. I'm talking about Reddit.
Oh.
This first section is Reddit Part the First. I am a nerd.
Yes, we already know that, Millie. Ooh. We're very much aware.
There's nothing wrong with being a nerd.
So we're going to start with this first post. The question posed by the OP is, what is the most impressive military feat carried out by a single individual in your world?
In my world?
And,
I was going to say Ponce de Leon, but now.
So why don't you take, what is a Baggins 55?
What is a Baggins 55?
What is it?
I am what is Baggins 55? I have a flare. During the battle for Yagishashin 3, a Polaris assassin called Zaharnadaki single-handedly took out entire Lord-class Starship's command crew, about 300 people. by manipulating the artificial gravity using a pair of razor drones and his hosey blades.
Razor scooter drones?
Hell yeah, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. After he had systematically killed the cruel, the Hunike set... I don't know how this is pronounced, but I'm just, you know...
You're doing great.
Yeah, yeah, I think this is right. I mean, I'm What's in a Bag in 55, and I wrote this, so
it's
I know.
It's actually French. It's supposed to be Hunike.
The Hunike set the ship on a collision course for Yurkashin's orbiting space station, which was bombarding his allies on the planet below.
You guys don't need explanations on what any of this is, right? Like, we all read this, right?
No, no, it's just... It just is. Like, it's self-explanatory, don't you?
Yeah,
axiomatic.
Jussie Blades. Transcend culture.
Yeah.
Building the world in front of my eyes.
He then performed an orbital dive into the raging battle around the city of Jalakor. Sorry, dyslexia. Where he destroyed almost 4 full battalions of enemy troops over the next 36 hours, taking several fatal wounds in the process. Wait, how can you take several fatal wounds? Wait,
there is
maybe
one
they're
way.
Cumulatively fatal.
Yes,
like on their own they wouldn't have been, but together.
Wait, you explain this. What? Why are you asking us?
Yeah, nutshell, you're not What's in a Bag in 55. I am, and I say sorry. That he just dies a lot. He got better.
Okay.
What she's saying is that there's a kind of inspiring story of teamwork lurking under the surface of this story.
His body was recovered atop the wreck of a Hex Shank spider mech, and his capital L link was retrieved to be reinstalled in a new body, thus preserving his mind.
His copy of Ocarina of Time.
My name is Splendidissimus!
Oh.
Oh, hello.
Hey, what is a baggins? My name is Splendidissimus. I made a broad James fantasy with too many races and way too many genders, and I want you to write this book and sell it to me.
Oh, I am writing a novel, not about this guy, but I was considering doing a short story about this if you're interested. Could ping you when I get around to it.
Hello, I'm PM Me Movie World Ticket.
Wait, what's Movie World? Is that like a weird offshoot of Planet Hollywood?
PM Me Ticket, and I'll tell you. Okay. I'm here to tell you about the most impressive military feat in the world that I've conceived of. A man named Valon Slynn took down the very first unskinned giant, which was almost at the largest possible size of 100 meters. By
so, 100 meters?
That's the largest.
That's where it caps. It was so close to the cap. The random gin was just crazy.
Well, no. Like, it's 100 meters, which is the largest possible size that 100 meters could be.
Oh, sure.
Of all the sizes that 100 meters can have, it was 100 meters.
Almost.
It's actually 99. Holy the fuck. Meter reader can't handle 3 digits. By creating a prototype of a blimp and over the course of 6 days, threw firebombs, fired handheld explosive weapons, and even spears at it, using the blimp to dodge thrown rocks. I just want to read a couple words in the row that they're presented to me. Using the blimp to dodge. Using the blimp to dodge. Okay. Thrown rocks and avoid the unskinned... Like, are they super...
Yeah, you know, like the opening scene in the second Charlie's Angels movie where they dodged a missile with a tanker truck?
It's making me think of Steel Empire on the Genesis, where you dodge machine gun bullets with a blimp.
I was thinking of when a man named Valislin took down the very first unskinned giant, so...
Oh, I was thinking... I've never actually seen the series, but I know enough about it that this seems like a ripoff of Attack on Titan to me. Avoid the unskinned tactics of stomping or rolling over land-based enemy until it finally got too weak to move and died when he fired another into its heart. Considering that unskinned had previously single-handedly destroyed entire countries, this was seen as a miraculous accomplishment, and it's still celebrated as a holiday.
Is that where the song Christmas Shoes came from?
Yes. You forget about the verse that talks about the giant who's waiting in housewares?
And my mom skinned the giant to make my Christmas shoes.
You used to celebrate that holiday.
Now this giant is unskinned, so is this Attack on Titan fanfiction?
Exactly,
I'm asking that completely
saying.
Seriously. I think this might have started out as Attack on Titan fanfiction.
That's all. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but since Attack on Titan titans don't have skin, does unskinned mean that it's Attack of Titan titans that do have skin?
Oh, that's a good point, because if something is skinned, then it doesn't have its skin, so I guess it's been pasted back on?
That's actually hotly debated in the Attack on Titan fandom, is whether or not the giant had skin or not. It's really hotly debated on those wiki pages.
Shut up! You guys, we're not talking about Attack on Titan. We're talking about an original story that somebody's writing for NaNoWriMo.
Right! Sorry, yeah, okay. Original thing. Original. Yeah. Yes, completely original, totally.
So, hey, is Tegirax in this room with us tonight? I want to know about Tegirax's world building. Tegirax, tell me about your world building.
Oh, alrighty, I guess if you insist. Hello there. I'm Tegirax.
Hi, Tegirax.
Hi. This is a list of each race in order of creation. Ike Rail, Men. Razadom, Mer. Deniflev, Mew. Elves, Men. Viscari, Mer. Minotaur, Mer. Orocs, Mew.
Mew.
Dwarves, Men. Thank you, yes, Mew. Kobolds, Mer. Orcs, Mer. Kindari, Mew. Cyclopsy, Men. Amphars,
wait, Misandry, Misandry. How dare you?
Giants, Men. Aberom, Mew. Vinsect, Mew. Demoniki, Mew. Human, Men. Did you follow that?
Yeah.
It
was in order.
I know so much.
It was, okay, you guys,
Why don't you give us the key out underneath there?
Yeah, every new world needs some explanation so that you understand what you're getting into, so just so it's clear. Men? Well, that means humanoid races designed for beauty and cooperation.
Ah, yes. Beautiful humans.
Mer? Oh, those are beastfolk races designed for strength and dominance. And Mew? Reptilian and insect races designed for adaption and survival.
Can I note that there are like 20 fucking races here that this person has? There's like 20 of them that they've written.
See, they just blew right by like there were five of them.
I'd like to just read down the right-hand side of the list, so it's just like min mer mew min mer 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 mew min min mer mer mew mew, and goes on for some time.
Nutshell, be Law of the Seas.
Okay, let's see. Law of the Seas, 11 cities, 7 suns, Zosi, Raineth, S, 3 points, 2 months ago. If Azosio wrote Lord of the Rings, then Sauron would be an evil queen bent on enforcing her rule amongst all the disparate races and sub-races of Middle Zosi, with the infinite elixir of will. The other free queens of the lands would be unable to resist her power, and many would submit. It is left to an alliance of free peoples to stop Sauron, and they succeed. After thousands of years, the elixir is found, and its power to move by any other unnoticed, by forcing them to disregard you as a threat, has made its way to Zilgo Zagan.
Original character, do not steal.
That's right. On his 111th birthday, he leaves, and the elixir is entrusted to his nephew, Zodo. He and a fellowship leave to take the elixir to the volcano, which forged it, so they can destroy it.
Yeah, you forge elixirs.
You forge elixirs in volcanoes.
The capital E elixir.
The crafting system in this isn't really fleshed out yet.
After lots of fighting and subplots, they succeed, and Sauron's control over the world is broken.
Excuse me, I think you'd be... oh, no, it is Sauron.
Uh-huh.
What?
The Liberator Queen, Zaragorn, takes control over the people and rules benevolently.
What the fuck?
I love it when every character's name starts with an XH.
You're gonna get zooed by the Zulkin Foundation.
I haven't read Lord of the Rings, but I am like 85% sure those are not the characters' names.
Well, have you read Zord of the Zings?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that I have read that. That sounds familiar.
Or my childhood favorite, The Zobbit.
Right, so now we're going to go to the second part of Reddit.
Oh, what's this part of Reddit called?
It's I'm a horny nerd, according to Shambam.
Ooh, oh, I'm a horny nerd.
It didn't need to be pointed out, but okay.
Why, I've never heard of such a thing.
You're a real horny toad, aren't you?
So this thread is called "What are some examples of author appeal in your works or stories or whatever?" You know. Okay,
and that is a TV trope, which is a little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's a TV trope. So I'm gonna I'm gonna follow
some examples. The best trope.
I'm going to follow the champ's directions in the dock, and go down to Odiday 12. I don't know. It's A O I D
L E D. It's one of the muses.
When it comes to suffering, no one is off limits.
Ooh.
Idealists don't last long. Either they get so damaged they stop being idealistic, or they die.
Ooh, so gritty and edgy. Whoa, my mind is blown.
I'm a regular Garth Ellis.
Is this in the new Justice League movie?
Ooh.
A lot of characters who appear to be irredeemable monsters turn out to be heroes who are badly hurt by having to make tough choices.
Wow, you're such a good writer. Oh my god, wow.
Wait. Tough choice.
So is this a sadist world?
Well, it's Reddit, so yeah.
I'd say it's got a realistic tone and a dark setting. It's fairly equal when it comes to characters suffering. Good and bad people alike have a rough time. Big theme is
You'd almost say it's Whedon-esque.
A big theme is how heroic characters behave when the moral choice and the easy choice are different. And what it means to be heroic in a realistic world where you can't rely on good actions having good outcomes.
Never heard of that before.
But why is that? Why do you enjoy seeing idealistic people suffer? Not,
yeah, why?
It's not that they are being punished for good. Rather, it's the consequence of lack of pragmatism in characters who don't temper their idealism. Every idealistic character doesn't immediately suffer. But eventually a lot of them screw up by picking the good choice over the smart choice.
Oh, I cut myself on the edge.
If only they were all emotionless logic machines like me.
It also questions what costs the characters will pay in order to do the right thing. Some of the most damaged heroes are painted in the most positive light. They made a hard choice knowing they have to live with consequences of it. It's my response to something I see and dislike in a lot of fiction, where good characters
try to read that sentence.
It's
my response to something I see and dislike in a lot of fiction where good characters who are objectively stupid. Okay. So I did read that right.
Yeah.
Who objectively stupid decisions because they stubbornly want to be the hero and end up winning because contrived or extremely lucky circumstance. End of sentence.
Extremely lucky.
In my world, being good doesn't mean you don't face the consequences of your actions. Eldridge.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the next post?
So, incorporation of hip-hop. Graffiti is magical, breakdancing is combat. B-Boy 360 is the god of this world. The DJ is an insidious rebel leader. And block parties are the most criminal activity teenagers can be up to.
Oh no, they're dancing!
They've banned partying! What an unusual circumstance.
Real hip-hop has no ties to criminal activity. It's totally benign all the time.
Let's just hear it out. This remake of Footloose might actually be good.
Would this remake be better than the other remake of Footloose?
Probably. It sounds better. Graffiti is magical, and breakdancing is combat, so we're off to two good starts.
I was hoping it was Lord of the Rings.
Go ahead and keep going on.
Also, sheer liberalism. Block parties are so bad because drugs are so legal. You can't get upset at your kid for doing weed if it's something anyone can buy at the ice cream shop.
Going down
for a soda pop. Going down.
Wouldn't there just be like a store specifically for the weed?
No.
Why at the ice cream shop?
No, you buy weed at the ice cream shop. Come on, everybody knows that.
Yeah, there's like weed ice cream. It's great.
Can I get, some Cherry Garcia and a waffle cone, sprinkle some of that fine herb on top?
So just Cherry Garcia?
And the problem is that every ice cream flavor is also a strain name, so it's never clear what you're ordering.
Hey, my name is Jester of Destiny. I make high fantasy with ADHD.
Do you know Jack Chick?
Who are you talking about? The Sanrin tribes, especially the Shy San, originally based on my fetishes. Because of that, they're the ones with the most detailed views on sexuality, and wet clothes have a very important cultural significance for them. They also love spiders and consider killing one a serious crime.
Charlotte.
Just imagining a bunch of monks, like, chanting at a wet t-shirt concert.
Okay.
That's in every world I make.
We're gonna move to the next thread by, Nitro Stoat.
Nitro Stoat.
Nitro Stoat.
Nitro Stoat.
Nitro Sloat.
The Very Quick Weasel.
Ganymede, why don't you go ahead and take that?
Hello, I'm Nitro Stoat, the world's fastest stoat.
Oh, why don't you tell me the name of the thread?
Some like redheads, some like legs, some like tentacles.
That's
what
me.
What do the people in your world find sexy or attractive? What makes them say, only if I'm drunk?
Consent. I think consent is sexy.
Yeah.
You're weird.
We're on Reddit. I don't think that their nanos are that sophisticated.
Attraction is varied enough in the real world, so I can only imagine what loops it goes through.
Oh my god. Oh, here we go.
So what have you got? If your world is scorched by the sun, is unburnt skin a fetish because of its rarity? That's the first example he jumped to. That is the first fucking thing. Do demons get a kick out of a female with less horns than them or more? Do trolls have an underground gay community? Do asexual aliens watch mating rituals with detached interest? All of this and more on Quora.
Is there a Stonewall riot of trolls?
Sex and attraction are hugely important in society and the real world, so it stands to reason it has significance in yours. Come on, people, let's get weird. I know I've kept it really vanilla for my examples, so get a little outlandish.
Hey, people, ooh.
It's almost as weird as trolls.
Yeah. Trolls I can buy, but,
I'm picturing the troll's toy.
Ooh, can I read Poison Salami?
Sure.
Okay. I am Poison Salami. Robosexuality is always popular. Psionic BDSM is a thing. When those of Japanese descent, of course, discovered the Celephemari squid people, things got weird.
Wow.
Yes, because all Japanese people have a tentacle fetish. That's great.
Also, doing little robot arms for us.
So just to be clear, this world so far is inhabited by robots, squid people, and the Japanese.
And psionicists.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well then.
The invention of personal hyperspace manipulation devices and Magitech look to bring new fetishes to the table.
Magitech.
Here are the fetishes. Have a nice meal. Looks to bring... Oh. Want to get hit with a miniature fireball?
Yeah, sure.
No.
What about getting an astral rip opened up next to your junk?
No.
I don't know.
Beep, bop, boop. This has been Poison Salami. Bop, boop.
If I Google astral rip fetish, like, will anything happen?
I like Poison Salami.
Ooh, lime astral bomb.
Hi, astral bomb.
Hi.
Hello.
Few people are attracted to the stricken. Would you get turned on by a face that looks like a combination of a Japanese spider crab and an iguana?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, hell yeah. Worse.
Or a wild boar and a squid?
Oh, even
I think
better.
You might
it
be.
Really depends on the personality.
No! No! Stricken can only be with other stricken.
That's
most
racist.
Of the time, they find it attractive if the other person is in their class, which can be reptilian, crustacean, molluscoid, insectoid, or mammalian. However, the stricken look the most like normal humans and are considered most attractive.
Well, damn.
Dwarves, who are ultimately just short wolf men, duh, are attracted to the females with the sharpest teeth and claws.
Ooh, baby!
And the fastidiousest tempers. Since they'll put up a good fight during the Mivalda Canuck, a fortnight where the dwarves strip nearly naked, paint Ooh. Their bodies, and nearly. Roam the woods.
They still got their tidy whities on.
That's for the MMO port.
Shoes and socks only. It hurts to step on a twig out there.
The males have to pursue and mate with the females.
Great.
The femoids. Ah,
great.
The chads get all the femoids. No.
Femoids, oh my god.
Howdy. I'm deleted.
Hi, deleted.
Hi. Howdy.
Why would you delete the account that posted this? I don't understand.
And a night. Pale people with heterochrome eyes. Women prefer very effeminate and sophisticated men, which is why other races think all Owenandites are bisexual.
They don't want twink hits?
No, that's just the guy from Green Day, isn't it?
Why'd you do that to me, show? Oh.
Some Therians, Eurharians, deep-sea mer-people prefer purple skin and yellow eyes and find even numbers of tentacles attractive. Yep.
Even numbers?
No, show me them niners.
Oh, baby, you got that.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, get that seven tentacle shit out of my face.
Yeah, the odd number tentacle is the Sinistra tentacle.
Kalzamahakurans. Sequoils. North Middle Eastern slime folk.
Oh good.
Is that me? Am I a slime folk? No, I'm a goop folk.
No, you're not. You're better
okay,
than that.
Okay, yeah. Goop is better than slime.
Don't associate with
well,
any of these
the
people.
Well, the slime folk generally like partners with pale bodies and dark eyes. In Zechariah, far away cyberpunk superhero city state the size of Australia, some people have some really weird tastes, which has to lead to the commercialization of the new transventurism movement, trans kind of humanism.
Oh my god,
just wedge that all in there, because that's how words work.
Yeah. Turning it from government experiments into a really weird body modifier hit industry. Think GBD Nate.
I already was.
I don't know what that is. But slightly weirder. The commercialization of transventuralism started from giving people cat ears. Okay. Of course.
Wait, are they psytrans?
Yes. Psytrans.
That is where it would start.
And changing their gender to crazy create your own body booth. Right in the middle of the street, like phone booths, which were in the middle of the street.
That escalated very quickly.
Just like the ear piercing booths at the mall.
Ooh, you can get an infection in them?
Mm. Ew.
Guys, no comparison we can make is going to be as great as the one that Deleted makes right after that.
Imagine the create your taste screens in McDonald's, except that it gives you a serum that turns you into a creature of your own creation.
Oh, no.
The fat has gotten so bad that the serums only last for a maximum of 24 hours by the order of the Zechariah Parliament.
They don't like anything being popular, those Zechariah Parliaments.
Yeah, dick elders.
Ugh. It's like 2112 all over again.
Respect the elder dick.
Some youth turn themselves into freaky monstrous hermaphrodites just for fun. And some people are into that.
Ew, who would be into that?
I'd imagine the people who do that.
Ew. Would be into that. They're youths.
Unless it's like Jackass.
Hi, welcome to Jackass. We're going to fuck with your DNA. Step into this microwave.
Steve-O would do it.
Okay, nutshell.
Alright.
So I guess we're skipping the OP and just moving on to Dram One Us. What are your world's red light districts like?
It's an orange light.
Alright. Dramalus, the Maelstrom Throne. 3 points, 12 months ago. The weird have what are called cuddle bars. Most of these are just that places where you can drink and be cuddle-piled by a few weirdlings.
They sure are weird.
Sure, sometimes the endothermic patrons get a little handsy. It is expected, and they are promptly rejected. However, some of these cuddle bars, especially those run off of the weirdling's home planet form, tend more toward more sexual behaviors.
You some don't are staffed, say!
I never would have guessed.
Some are staffed by willing participants.
Yay. Some?
Others are staffed by trafficked individuals.
Ew, what the fuck? Gross.
I haven't really fleshed out drug use in my world as of yet. I am currently developing the races / cultures locales. But I've already got the red light districts planned out, so hey, it's going great.
And sex trafficking.
And the sex trafficking, yeah.
I mean, those are pretty foundational.
I like that this person has emphasized what are pretty much the main reasons I never go to regular bars.
Like, what I don't... I like how they called out the endothermic patrons as the handsy ones. Like, their lizard patrons are, you know, really respectful.
Well, they use lotion, you see.
Amelia, the last post from Reddit is super creepy. Let's just go on to TV Tropes, because that place isn't creepy at all.
Yay, so my old we're moved down to TV Tropes.
Oh no. Oh no.
I can't wait to see my friends.
TV Tropes, where I look up things I can't be bothered to actually watch or read.
Like the birdcage?
Eldritch, why don't you take the first post here in the TV Tropes section? By Bloody Hell Sausage?
Well, I'd love to.
Oh no.
Bloody Hell Sausage.
No.
First off, I'm from Reddit,
yay.
But I decided to change places because of what seems to be going on with the moderators at Worldbuilding subreddit. I used to post Q&A...
Wait, what is this accent?
Icelandic.
It's probably British, go for it.
I used to post Q&A threads on that subreddit, and is that acceptable here? Obviously, I'm new here.
Oh yeah, I've just never heard an English person. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine, go ahead, post your
I'm
Q&A
I'm Crash thread. Bandicoot. What is the age of consent in your will to do lovey-dovey stuff? Do young people tend to engage in relationships early, or do they usually abstain until they are adults?
No. I hate it. God. Thanks, I hate it.
Why are those the two options?
Why can't you... Why do you have to call it lovey-dovey stuff?
Making hanky-panky?
Like, this is their first... They're like, hey, good to meet you guys. By the way, underage sex?
Hinky-pinky.
Are there close-in-age exemptions for young people? How educated do people tend to be on sexual topics? Looking forward to your answers.
Are there answers?
No.
There are, but I don't know how...
Let's find out.
Let's just not.
I'm okay with that being a complete and utter mystery.
Mm-hmm. We can leave that behind the curtain.
Okay, I will just say, oh my god, there are a lot of answers.
Okay. Well... We're going to head to a new thread by Jazzflower here. And Shell, why don't you go ahead and take Jazzflower?
Okay. Alrighty, I'm Jazzflower.
Hi, Jazzflower.
Also, and... you are an African-American girl, Jazzflower, just so you know.
Oh, of course I am. I was thinking that Western animation should take ideas from anime generis. One thing that interested me was the magical girlfriend genre. Then I looked at the lack of magical boyfriend genres. So I thought, why not make one myself? This idea originally began as Hibari Gani Kitsune, but I changed it to Kitsune Ken. Because it would be a pun that people would get later on.
Is it bad that I can think of a bunch of magical boyfriend genre mangas right off the top of my head?
No.
It's bad. It's
that just means your culture.
Bad.
Yes, culture.
You can't. This is the first one. I invented it.
Only Kitsune Ken.
The plot is basically an African-American girl named Joyanne moves to a new school and bumps into a Japanese student named Ken. He later reveals himself to be a kitsune by accident when she helps him defeat an enemy in the battle with...
Actually, it's three kitsune in a trench coat.
I'm sometimes a kitsune by accident.
With the help of her lucky bat.
Okay, this... is bat like baseball or bat like flappy wings?
Oh, you're gonna find out.
Bat like Zekka.
That doesn't help, Eld. That could be either. This leads to an old-time rule that if a human sees a kitsune in fox form, then the kitsune must be married / engaged to that human forever.
Wait, I thought that was Selkies.
And then they get to eat its liver!
Mmm, yum.
Wait, you could decide whether you're just going to be engaged or married for
one or the other.
But I don't believe in marriage.
So, leads into our series.
So this was all issue zero, then.
This is the season finale for How I Met Your Mother.
Ken. I picture him as a glasses-wearing guy who's a classy,
real classy.
Glasses-wearing guy who is adorkable and is a very Genki anime slash manga otaku fan, plus fire-making and manipulating powers. He's rather quiet and well-reserved, but if anyone hurts his Sachiko, Joy-Ann, then it's on.
Like Donkey Kong?
Joy-Ann, she could be called a tsundere, but she has a soft spot for Ken and would never hit him.
Isn't this just Inuyasha?
She is also a big reader and shares an interest in anime slash manga like Ken.
Manga is real literature.
She reads all the anime.
She also wields a magical bat that is made from metal that hurts all magical creatures regardless of origin.
Even if you're from Tennessee.
She's very loud, but at the same time, very caring.
Oh, she's caring.
Still didn't clear up the baseball bat versus flappy bat thing for me.
The thing is that my character only owns a magical bat that is forged from metal, from a metal rod that was mentioned in Norse mythology and somehow made it to America.
And when she taps it on the ground, she becomes Thor.
The reason she has the bat is that she doesn't become the load, and she can defend herself when Ken is there. Load.
That's on my no list.
So the reason she has the bat is metatextual reasons.
My head is full of TV Tropes jargon, so this is less confusing, but I know what load is in TV Tropes term.
Oh, really?
It's a character that weighs down the others because they can't do anything to help fight bad guys or whatever.
But you see, they didn't follow the community guidelines and capitalize it so people knew. So it's ambiguous.
Your story idea was kind of annoying because you really relied on a lot of Japanese like stereotypes and anime tropes.
No, we're in America. My name is
Omega Cross, and I have a much better idea than yours. I need a surname for a Japanese demon slash ghost hunter. So I've recently had some inspiration to come up with a new setting and characters for a short story. The protagonist is a Japanese schoolgirl with demonic powers who fights demons and evil spirits. Problem is, me not being Japanese and having no experience coming up with thematic Japanese names, I'm kinda stuck for a surname. I've decided her given name is Tsukiko, and that she was born during an eclipse, which coincided with a horde of demons escaping from hell, and I want to carry on the theme into the surname as well, but having searched Japanese names and their meaning and not finding much to work with, I'm a bit stuck.
There's this little concept called cultural appropriation that you might want to look up?
No.
What the fuck is going on?
The character also has a superpowered evil side named Tsukiyomi as well, so the moon night theme is something I'd really like to keep going. Either that or something that relates to having demonic blood. For a while, I almost settled on Akagi, which means red tree if the internet is to be believed, but then I stopped and realized that this made the character Tsukiko Inagi. And that given that she's a black-haired schoolgirl in a red coat who goes around fighting supernatural creatures, I think that would be a little too close to the name of a character from a certain well-known RPG franchise, Persona. So anyway, any suggestions would be appreciated.
You're very clearly a manic pixie dream girl, and I like that.
Goop.
Yeah?
I'm gonna give you an option.
Oh no.
Do you want, McGickical Pregnancy, Fuck You, or Not a Harry Potter ripoff?
Oh man, that's pretty
easy.
And
these are names given by Sham.
Yeah, that's pretty easy, because McGickical Pregnancy?
Let's go with the McGickical Pregnancy.
Okay. I am Exultant Peep.
The most exultant peep.
like the marshmallow peep?
Yes.
The high and mighty
peep. The peep with the low crown.
Okay, so I'm Exultant Peep, and I say words, and those words are zero downvote favorite. I located a website that talks about certain tropes and how they are used. One of these topics specifically talks about magical pregnancy and its examples in the media. They seem to turn the woman in question into a passive object during the process. What is this? They're acted on by a supernatural force of nature, usually against their will. And ends up coming off as creepy.
You know
creepy.
That movie where the woman willingly gets fucked by Satan?
This has mostly killed the trope as a concept. I think it is more of a question of agency and could actually work if done in a right way. So I wanted to introduce it by adding a twist to it. In this world, magic is gendered specifically to females, who access it through a metaphysical organ that pulls energies from an alternate dimension.
So like a gallbladder?
Would it be a problem if I screamed at this point in the recording?
Go on.
All women are born with this and can be accessed by concentrating. You just think really hard, you get pregnant.
No, I can access women.
That's how Republicans think it works.
Well, and in fairness, a lot of their ancestors were grand wizards.
Magic is a powerful force in the world. In this case, pregnancy would simply be viewed as a longer type of spell, taking the course of months. It would be more of an active process in which magical energies would be used to grow the fetus. Gestation would be easy on the body, with none of the negative drawbacks being associated with it, morning sickness, cramps, etc. Birth would also be painless. What is the point of this? What is the point?
I don't know!
I want to poop out babies.
What is the point of anything?
You're jerking off.
I need a reason to not be writing my nano. So I'm writing this.
The only drawback would be that the individual would be cut off from other forms of magic during the process. I got the idea from a Game of Thrones episode in which a priestess used magic to conceive a child with the king. Would this be a good way of handling the concept? Is this more of a world-building question than a writing one? Or does it depend on how it is written? I've clearly, like, come up with my ideas on this, so...
So you watched Game of Thrones and that's what
I'm
you
asking,
came away with?
I'm asking. Oh my god.
You're open to ideas.
It's so unsurprising to me that this person watches Game of Thrones.
Okay, so... Nutshell.
Yeah?
I'm gonna give you a choice.
Oh, goody.
Ooh, two in a row.
I have options for you. Om nom nom, pulse cannon, or Tolkien-like birds?
I'll take the Tolkien-like birds.
Ooh.
JR enjoys avians.
So, I'm President Stalker Eyes from Sanju. My relationship status is non-canon.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Oh wait, ew.
No, it just means he's not dating a canon.
So, I've lately been having some world-building thoughts of a more fantasy-oriented world than I'm accustomed to. It's set in a fantasy version of Mesoamerica, and the main civilization in the area is a diverse society of funny animals, birds, with different species of birds representing different subspecies, akin to human ethnicities.
Oh, I'm sure this is so tasteful.
The society is based in a giant skyscraper-esque tower, a la the Tower of Babel, albeit with a Maya Incatec motif? Yeah, because those were three completely different South American.
Oh, it's a trope.
Society. That's okay.
Ooh. That's nice.
Essentially gross. Making it this world's equivalent of Tenochtitlan. Okay. The reason the birds are based in this tower is because they're constantly under threat of being attacked by an invading race of bat people who've arrived from across the ocean seeking to subjugate and exploit the locals, making them the equivalent of the Spanish conquistadors. The twist, however, is that the Mayan-Catec-themed bird society is, in fact, the more advanced of the two, both in technological and societal development. The general technology level is roughly clockpunk, or possibly steampunk levels, averting fantasy gun control.
Clockpunk?
Yep.
Clockpunk.
I think it's like steampunk, only with even more gears and cogs.
It's like, I'm gonna clock you in the face, punk. That's it.
I think cumulatively, the gears that you have on your outfit have to add up to an entire clock or more.
Did you take that from a Red Skeleton stand-up?
What?
However, the bird's technology is hyper-efficient magitech. Oh, there's that word again. And appears cleaner and more futuristic than their bat rivals, who must rely on purely mechanical technology. This is reflected in their appearance.
Hey, it's the metal bats. Birds...
That's right. The birds wear what could be considered space clothes despite not being in space, whereas the bats are much more grungy and dirty, except for their leaders, who look like they stepped out of the Napoleonic Wars. However, the birds have recently undergone a revolution that overthrew their monarchy and are now under the command of an isolationist military dictatorship that deliberately keeps their entire defensive capabilities locked down on their literal skyscraper city, the idea supposedly being to wait for the bats to give up and leave. But of course, there's more to it than that. The invading bats actually did give up a long time ago. The bats that are invading now are all mercenaries being supplied and paid by the leader of the birds, who wants an excuse to stop anyone from leaving the tower because the birds have a very low breeding rate as a side effect of their magitech use, and as such, he can't afford to let anyone try running off and starting their own society because he'd inevitably have to fight them and kill them.
I was almost worried we'd get through that whole synopsis without you mentioning their breeding rate.
What's the note supposed to be?
Click it.
Oh no!
It's a window onto eternity. That's all.
So why did you just tell us all that?
Well, because I do have a few questions in relation to these points. How would a tower society like the one described function logistically speaking?
You didn't think of that?
This is assuming the tower grows its own food at ground level, possibly greenhouses higher up, and there's no stairs because the birds don't need stairs to get from one floor to another.
Birds don't need stairs!
With regards to the bird's leader, I was trying to get across the sort of character who started out as a well-intentioned extremist, but eventually turned into a power-hungry despot without even realizing it, a not-so-well-intentioned extremist, in other words. Yes, thank you.
Was it a tomato in the mirror moment?
Thank you for spelling that out.
With the potential for a heel realization later down the line. I'm wondering if that's the case with the character, and more importantly with regards to world building. What tactics could he use to maintain this state of affairs for as long as possible without everyone getting suspicious and beginning to rebel? Would rebellion be an inevitability if we rule out the possibility that they could support themselves forever living in the tower? So basically this person wants you to write all their plot points for them.
No,
I'd rather be in the tower forever than in this post forever.
Hey guys, I have a bunch of ideas. Can you take it and write an actual story with it, but put my name on it first? Thanks.
I was sure to include a bunch of tropes, but like, can you do the rest?
Remember, birds can't use stairs because their legs bend backwards.
Nutshell, why can the bats and birds fly?
Because I'm more of an idea person.
Yeah, I'm an idea guy.
Vinny the bird. I'm Flama. I'm Flama.
Hi, Flana.
Waka Flama Flame.
Flama.
My relationship status, all, is for my lord. Lowercase, it's not God.
Oh, so precious.
For your second question, you probably looked at Napoleon Bonaparte.
Don't look at
Bonaparte. Don't look at Bonaparte.
Yeah, you fucking noob.
I only bone together.
You'll turn to stone.
A better example would be Maximilian Robespierre. Robespierre did everything you described. He was a well-intentioned extremist who thought he was doing France a favor during the revolution. Ended up being a total despot. He was killed by his own guillotine.
Oh, Robespierre. I have a question. Was this post written by Maximilian Robespierre? Because it kind of sounds like it.
Kind of looks like somebody from the 1800s.
Robespierre used mass hysteria and terrorism to control the people, so that may be something you can use, but of course, you can only use typical dictatorship tactics like Assad or Hitler used.
Like Assad or MC Hammer or Hitler.
Oh.
George C. Reilly.
George C. Reilly.
About rebellions. Since the monarchy was toppled, royalists should be a big problem for the revolution's leaders, as it was in our history. So that could be one of the bases for any possible revolts that occur in your world. Good luck, I guess.
Smug.
And what is your signature?
It is not sufficient that I succeed. All others must fail.
Yep, that tracks.
Genghis Khan.
This person is not a friend.
What a
twist. Do not like them. I do not approve.
Eldy, take the Hogwarts post.
Okay. How do I create a magical community? School that doesn't sound like Hogwarts.
Duh! How do I rip something off, but kind of not obviously?
I don't know. Go through the rest of this doc and take some pointers.
How do I write a magical story that doesn't sound like Dumbledore screaming his lungs out?
How do I write a magical school while still liking a boy?
Well, it's called My Immortal, and
yeah.
Or the Magicians.
I was so gothic.
You are what Kathleen gothic. Wrote.
What did she write? Oh.
Let's find out.
Since Harry Potter is such an incredibly huge series, I found it hard to build my own magical community in school without sounding like some sort of alternate universe fan fiction. I know I do have my own unique elements. I mean, carving runes and rune magic and blood magic, among other things.
Oh, so unique.
Oh, you're so cool.
Really yeah. spreading your character thin.
I didn't watch Full Metal Alchemist so cool? at all.
But there are certain things that just scream Hogwarts to me.
Hogwarts for example, to me!
For example, I really wanted a way of sorting the students into some sort of separation. Separate but equal. But I can't seem to figure out how to exactly do that without it being a ripoff of sorts. Thought about calling them sectors, or maybe using different Germanic runes.
No, it's still the... you're still sorting them.
A rose by any other name.
How did you miss
Harry
the
Potter.
Part that makes it... Okay.
It's Harry Potter with sectors and runes and blood magic.
And German.
So it's different, basically. It's a different thing.
Sounds like Necroscope.
For example, Juras, a type of cattle that is swift,
fast, and aggressive.
You know those fast, aggressive cows?
Yeah. Lagas. Water. Lake. Or Isas. Ice. You know, something along those lines.
Yeah, you could easily sort people into things like that.
Fast cow, water, or ice?
Lilith, I want to say you really do feel like a water lake to me.
I feel like I probably sound like I'm complaining, which I apologize. I just
to
had this really cool. You know, I just had this really cool idea in my head. I can't help but think, oh wait, that's Hogwarts, or oh wait, that sounds like the Hunger Games. How I overcome that?
Read more! Read different things!
Oh, okay, I'll go read some Divergent.
Read something that hasn't been a movie yet.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if I've said it or not, but we've moved over to the NaNoWriMo.
The Maze Runner, I'll read that.
Great.
I am number four.
I'm Silver Dreamer. I wrote a short...
I'm Silver Dreamer.
Are you related to Silver Surfer?
I'm the Silver Surfer.
Are you dreaming of silver, or are you a dreamer that is silver?
I'm dreaming of Silver yes. the Hedgehog.
You're Blaze the Cat.
Yeah, I'm Blaze the Cat. I'm Blaze.
You know, Silver the Hedgehog is actually half human. Fun fact.
I'm Blaze THC. I wrote a short story about an incident in magic school, and I was...
Yeah, M is a vowel. There's
in
no
British,
vowel.
Sometimes the M is a vowel.
Yeah, it's like an historic school, you know? It's...
Yeah.
At Anne's magic school, and as I was writing it, Hogwarts came to mind initially, but then I realized that the way the school was structured was different, as well as the types of magic.
It was more like D&D.
How is it surprising to these people that Harry Potter has a lock on the concept of magic school?
Wait, that's what was in the OP, though.
Yes, but...
Like, you that's all that it takes, so, like, what's what Kathleen wrote complaining about, then?
I don't know. Maybe you could start by thinking why kids have to be sorted in the first place. Why anything? Why even be here?
Why are you writing?
I think it took me a few books to realize the big difference between Hogwarts groups. Even though the basic characteristics were clear from the first couple of chapters.
Like, excruciatingly so.
Yeah, this person's a Hufflepuff.
Hey.
They're all nerds. So, if the magic works differently, which makes it necessary to group people, or if they aren't really grouped by characteristics as much as magic-specific speciality or power strength, etc., then as to how do they get sorted, it could have... something to do with testing based on why. Hope that helps, smiley face.
Why?
Why?
Thank you. This actually does help. I'll be sure to keep the why in mind.
What Kathleen wrote, you sound a lot more, upset.
Whimsical.
Okay. I don't know if we need to read anymore, but I just really want to point out that somewhere down the line, Iapiv suggests to cast a broader net and not recreate an English boarding school, and then the OP is just like, oh, I know what you mean. Mine will be set in Canada, actually.
It's a Canadian boarding school.
Yay, more Canadians.
See, you got Canadian Hogwarts after all.
So what happens to all the wizards who can't afford boarding school?
Then I guess you're screwed.
Okay. Can I just, I don't know if we'll have time really for the thread, but can I just read the title of this thread?
Do it.
The title was, Ignoring the Obvious Problem, Help Me Build My Werewolf Space Station?
Well, there should be a moon or no moon, depending on what your outcome
that'd be an issue.
She does clarify that the obvious problem is, but the moon?
Go ahead, start reading, and I'll cut you off if it starts to get too long.
Okay, so TLDR, my werewolves shift as part of a natural hormonal change, kind of like humans have periods. The moon is an important figure / touchstone across werewolf cultures, but doesn't have any actual physical effects on them. Also, somewhat relatedly, shifting isn't a metaphor for periods. Anybody can be a werewolf, whether they bleed monthly or not. So... I have these werewolves in space, right? I'd say there's about...
Werewolves
me too.
In space.
I'd say there's about 2,000 of them on this space station. You don't have to... You like, when you say it, it literally becomes the truth, because you're... Never mind.
If I had to be pressed, I would put it at around 2,000 werewolves in space.
Which is one of the three orbiting the planet.
She seems to be wearing a cloak of Italian manufacture.
Which may or may not be the Earth. I haven't decided. It's a pretty big place. I haven't settled on the design yet, but when I picture it, I kind of think of Satellite 5 from that one Doctor Who episode in the ninth season. Or in Nine's season. But before everything exploded during said episode. Spoiler,
oh,
I
guess. So when it was a space station.
The whole...
No, I wanted the werewolves to float around on a bunch of debris.
So you decided to go with generic, shitty space station.
The whole space station isn't only werewolves. There are humans as well, and possibly just straight-up non-terrestrial aliens who live
that's
and work
there.
That's
pretty inclusive.
You know, let's get crazy.
Yeah.
It's diverse.
Werewolves, humans, other? Things I inhabit.
Werewolves and aliens living together. Mass hysteria.
Things I'm hand-waving right now include gravity, life support like air / heat, and
yeah,
such.
Yeah, gravity, you know.
Nothing really important, though.
Then what do you need the station for? Just have a float in space if you're getting rid of all
things
that.
Things I am actively trying to figure out. They need food, water, and synthetic meat. Raising real animals for meat would take too much resources.
I need tofu for my werewolves.
Would it be simpler to hand wave it as, nah, science? Probably. Still. We're getting this peek into the creative process.
Thank you, Harlan Ellison.
Still, I want the station to be mostly self-sustaining. The only resource that they get from the planet / other stations is skilled workers. My main character is an engineer, for example, and one of her friends is an agricultural scientist. And here's my second thing I'm trying to figure out. What is everything made out of?
Adams, my guy. Adams.
Fur.
Oh, stuff, you know.
What's the deal with matter?
I mean, if you want to get philosophical.
So what is everything made out of? I've been chattering about, like, synthetic crystals being used for glassware and stuff, because it's cheaper than trying to export however many thousands of tons of plastic, etc.
That's the part of the... What? That's what you're focusing on?
What did you think I was asking?
Well, of course, we all know that synthetic meat is going to be made of glass.
Is it not clear that when I open a question with what is everything made out of, I want some, like, IKEA alternatives?
This is your story. I mean, what? You should. What?
No, tell me what it
is. Yeah, but writing's hard. Writing's so hard, guys.
She says, I know it's my story, but again, still. And that's about all the.
That shuts me up.
That's about all the answer you're going to get on that one. I'm intending there to be several floors on the station. One that's an observation deck on the quote-unquote highest part of the station.
Yeah, man.
The dankest part of the
station. One for people to live and work in, which includes a marketplace. Because there is unfortunately space capitalism.
This is your fucking story.
I'm sorry. Which includes a marketplace, parentheses, because there is unfortunately space capitalism.
No!
Unfortunately, I couldn't help but put this in my story.
It's different from regular capitalism.
It's because it's in space.
Oh no, it's because instead of capital, they actually they use space itself as their medium of exchange.
You just get really far away from each other.
Massive inflation because, like, space is infinite.
Plus, people inflate when they go into space on the stupid on the city.
They need to use bitcoins.
And
no, the real difference between space capitalism and normal one is that there's werewolves, obviously.
There's already a story with space capitalism. It's called Doctor Who.
Also, I need to know what your references are. Like, where are you getting your inspiration from? There's a show that you reference that I think, or not show, but some books. Yeah, some books. I don't know why I said show.
No, Mescaline was not a show.
Yeah, so where are your inspiration come from?
It says you.
That
was my favorite.
Well, one on the lowest part of the station that's basically ripped straight off of the dome part of Andalite ships from Animorphs.
That is a cool.
Wait, do werewolves count as Animorphs?
Animorphs.
Is this whole thing just fanfiction?
Sort of? No.
No.
Where everyone can enjoy a nice feeling of Earth once in a while, and where the werewolves can go to cavort safely and out of range of anyone who might get harmed or scared when their shift happens.
I have a question. Why are there werewolves in this story?
I mean, why are there humans
fun.
On Earth?
It's wacky, I like.
Werewolves are good. How come y'all hate werewolves?
I don't
hate
werewolves.
I don't hate werewolves.
Because they try to eat you. They eat people.
I thought werewolves tried to kiss you.
Ooh.
No, that's pickup artists.
What about the children? Where do the baby werewolves and also humans go to school? How would they be born? Are there medical facilities on the stations? How are baby born? Like, there must be, but where? Would being born
in
space
growing a werewolf in a test tube
affect their growth somehow? And my final question, of course.
Oh no, the werewolves got her.
It's just a bunch of A's. It's like 20 Gary. A's.
Gary, no! Werewolves are non-violent, I will have you know, except for the ones that are. I don't like all the werewolfism going on.
Finally, do you have any ideas of any cool stuff I could add? Thank you for reading.
Plot! You could add plot!
No, you don't need plot for a story!
No, it's just super cool and it's got space capitalism.
Yeah!
Plot would distract from the gimmicks.
I think before we get to the last post, we're going to read the one labeled shitty poem because the word poem's in it, in the description, and the title.
Hell yeah.
This is a really deep insight into the creative process.
Poem's my middle name.
So,
whoa.
Inspector 1228, I need a poem for my book, specifically an oath in meter and rhyme. Any suggestions for how to do so? Nutshell, why don't you take Wrath of Fire?
Oh god, what are we doing?
Poetry!
The second to last link.
Shitty poems, okay. Razifier. Well, think about the content that needs to be in the oath, like to what or whom is the oath being given, if anything is being sworn upon, if any consequences for failure are mentioned. If you don't have ideas for those, research various oaths. As for meter, there's lots of different ones and different lengths. Is this going to be a short oath or a very long one? Do you want rhymes in paired couplets, or every other line, or a limerick, or do you want blank verse, or anapests, or what?
I want a poem.
There once was a man from Nantucket. His oath was so long he could suck it.
Couplets could work, but I've never been very good with poetry.
Oh, really?
Write my poem for me.
It's specifically being sworn into what is basically an empire's secret police called the Order of the Raven.
Well, Antisian here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Soldier bright. Soldier bright. Soldier brave. Fight with might. Up to the grave.
Up to the grave.
Man, Ozzy's really let himself go when it comes to lyrics writing.
I think you could just say Ozzy's really let himself go.
Oh, I got a poem at the end. Yay.
Now, remember, you wanted something in meter and rhyme.
Yes, I did. I've got a temporary placeholder, but I'm hoping to improve upon it. And I'm sure I can't, but here we go. I swear to you, my emperor, my liege, never to be but a blind follower. I am the Raven, Eyes of Cerulea. I am the Raven, Guardian of the Empire.
I am the Raven, Cuckoo Kachoo.
I am the Raven, Preserver of Stormcrow.
I am the Raven, Skyrim.
I am the Raven, Warrior for Justice.
The dragon is wise, a sage among the ignorant.
Shooting at the walls of heartache, bang bang, I am the Raven.
I am the William. I am the Raven, protector of the Emperor.
I am the Raven until proven guilty.
I am the Raven until released by death of your honor.
But
I'm a Raven, Doctor Who.
I am the Raven, I shall protect.
Whoa.
I really love all the meter and rhymes.
You know, I think this reboot of Edgar Allan Poe is really gone downhill.
Nevermore!
So, we're gonna go to the thread called Well-Known Folk Song on Futuristic Spaceship? Sham, why don't you take the OP?
So, I'm Maxima Mark 2K17, because I was literally born yesterday. I need to write a song!
Ooh!
More specifically, I need to write a song. Pretty much everyone on the lower levels of my generationship would know the kind of thing that one would hum while working or could be used as a subtle suggestion of subversiveness right under the bourgeoisie's nose. I was thinking somewhere along the lines of Hero of Canton from the show Firefly. It would be cool to rewrite an old folk song from a culture,
you know,
that existed slash exists on Earth
Firefly
in the past, like the Middle Ages or something from Celtic culture, but that's not required. The problem is that while I can sing and play guitar with relative ease and passable skill, I'm useless when it comes to creating new lyrics. So!
I can sing!
If y'all have any ideas about what kind of things I could put into the song, lines to use, concepts to include, or even just full-on lyrics, please send them my way. Thanks in advance.
Could you write the song for me?
Write my song, guys.
So many of the help requests are just like,
yeah, just do this for me. Well, I'm Frog Rabbit. Seeing as everything is bastardized after a few centuries, you should go with Miley Cyrus's classic 2030 hit, Beat It. It draws people back to a time before direct cranial media injection. Smiley face!
Oh, that is a hilarious joke. I appreciate it.
Haha, look at me, I'm Aldous Huxley, I'm so smart.
So let's go to, is there one where people go to the song? Oh, okay, Goop, why don't you take Lima?
Okay, I'll do this one. I'll make it funny. Okay. We toil with heart and hand to make our old master ship fly. We all avoid mistakes, or else we mays die. We're the workers, the machine, the cogs ignored. Yes,
we're
sir.
We're the 99%.
No, sir. Of course, we will abide. Shrugs.
I like how you fixed some of it so it actually would be a rhythm.
Yeah, that wasn't intentional.
So, Truick.
All right. I've heard there's sunlight. Don't know if it's true. I've never made it past deck level 2.
Level 2.
But if I ever get there,
she ever gets there,
I'd have lunch with the Capitan.
The Capitan.
And I'll tell you all about it if I ever come back again.
Come back again. Ever.
There's no need to be envious.
No haters.
We've good births below. Oh. And all the meds we can siphon.
Like gas.
All the food we can grow. Isn't life grand? While we're
starting to sound like a surgeon.
While we're all live like a king. Please, Wake me up when we make Orpharine.
Wake me up inside. Can't wake up.
Oh, man. I didn't know Stutter Rap actually started with folk songs.
I would say that Truick is T-Mills, but he's clearly Robin Williams. Going by his avatar.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He is long-head Robin Williams.
It's really uncanny. I think it's in the way his face scrunches.
Did somebody grab Senna Butterfly?
So we need Senna Butterfly. LD, why don't you take that?
Just a song? Should I get the preamble as well?
Yes, that's kind of important, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. What if you did something based off the nursery rhyme, London Bridge is falling down? But instead of people trying to fix a bridge and failing, it could be rebels trying to win a battle. Like the Battle of Serenity, to use Firefly and failing.
Stop, everyone, stop. Using Firefly.
Yeah, I like Firefly. It's my favorite Josh Whedon.
It's my favorite Josh Whedon.
Okay. Like the Battle of Serenity, to use Firefly and failing. Or the other side trying to win, either defending their planet / base / etc. and failing.
Trying to write a story and failing.
There's two open parentheses, but never a closed one.
It keeps going.
We're stuck in it forever.
Alright.
Yep.
Yay!
Everything from now on is inside that parentheses in our lives.
So, Eldie, this is London Bridge is falling down, I guess.
Yes. One, two, one, two, three, four. Infiltrated with spies and thieves, infiltrated with spies and thieves, my dear rebels. Spies and thieves will be caught and die, spies and thieves will be caught and die, my dear rebels.
Yikes.
Infected with disease and plague, disease and plague, disease and plague, infected with disease and plague, my dear rebels.
Whoa. They that caught it edgy. On the last Whoa. One, but they didn't.
Yeah, like you couldn't even manage to...
It's a simple fix.
Follow the tiny guideline you set up.
Curse your sudden but inevitable shortcomings.
And so forth. This might be a little too subversive, sentence, but if we're about very old events and we're calm enough, it might pass muster. You probably don't want a song where the rebels fail, so maybe flip it around some, but that's an idea.
Oh, there's the end of that parenthetical.
That's an idea.
Your idea sucks!
Oh.
Who was going to be Camboli?
I can be Camboli. You can use the ubiquitous copy and paste song known and practiced by all. Copy and paste, paste, and copy. Copy, 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 paste, paste, paste. Control C, control V, control A, control X. Copy and paste, paste, and copy. Edit and revise, revise, and edit. Control A, control X. Control C, control V. Edit, edit, edit. Revise, revise, revise. Edit and revise, revise and edit. Repeat this entire thing until you're done.
Okay, I do want to point out that Camboli is probably the only one that's going to be finishing their NaNoWriMo. They have almost all of the words.
We've got their strategy.
Yeah, there are 41,000 words.
Is it going to make it?
No, if you go down, I think this generalist person is already done, because they have they've got 75,039 words.
Yeah, but they also have they also have an avatar that says NaNoWriMo winner, and that's just antithetical because
wait, you can win?
You don't win it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
How do you
That's what I say. That's all my novel is. Just winner, winner, chicken dinner.
copy, paste, control A, control V.
All work and no winner makes Jack a chicken dinner.
Nutshell. I think what we're going to do is have you go and read L. Draper?
God, I'm not good at coming up with music off the top of my head. Or working on this ship. This is the life. Some may call it hell, but we call it brainless paradise. And down here working, we sing RUNAWAY. Oh, these days on this ship, there are infinite chances to skip away into grasses. GETAWAY. Just work so we can. HISBACKISTURNED.
I feel like you made that way better than it was.
Yeah.
So good job.
I also like that their secret way that they're going to get messages under the nose of their supervisors is to spell it out, because apparently
You can't be trusted.
Their supervisor can't spell.
His back is turned, but he can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, spelling it out didn't work, guys! What do we do now? Have you tried Pig Latin?
Yeah.
I think we need to finish up with Drake Tesla.
Okay. Another common source of folk songs are work songs. Songs that keep laborers in sync for repetitive tasks that needs to be performed in unison, or with workers acting in specific timing, like rowing a boat or hauling the lines of an old sailing vessel. The old sea shanties are the sort of song, generally with a repetitive chorus and a strong rhythm, like What Would You Do With a Drunken Sailor, or My Name is Captain Kidd. People on a gin ship wouldn't be hauling lines or rowing, but I can imagine a valve purging shanty.
Ew. I don't like it.
Get rid of this Half-Life 3.
The first worker has to turn his valve, if you know what I mean, and then worker 2 turns hers.
Yeah.
Then worker 3 turns his.
Gender inclusive. Awesome.
And the supervisor blows the line clear.
All 3 of them.
Then 1 shuts, then 2, then 3, then the supervisor, then they're done. So some kind of 4-part songs. Simple. Like, row, row, row your boat. Or a chant. Either relating to the indicator, colors, or the motions. Maybe with a hint at disaster or if they make a mistake. I'm no lyricist. And I don't know if your gin ship tends to be mystical mothership type or the this hunk o' junk type, but here's a 5-minute goofball try at it. Green runs the bright line.
Supervisor verifies that the branch air supply line to be vented is separated from the main supply.
Green throw.
Workers verify that their boards are all clear.
Dark goes the first line.
Could have actual named lines.
Dark Tide Tomb.
Verifies full closure on Station 1. Repeat until all branches are sealed from corridor air.
This is catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Red runs the dark line.
Opens vent to external vacuum.
Bleeds breath through.
Close safe, our sweet line.
Close external vent.
Warm room.
Open wide the first line.
Open initial airline flow to corridor.
Wide black looms.
The aperture is now open to the corridor. If the vent, the vent were still open to the vacuum somehow, it would now become apparent and the workers would have time to seal off without bleeding the main air supply out into the void. Repeats for all lines.
Mother breathes her life through.
The main airline from main life support is now feeding the corridor. Task complete.
Green breath blooms.
Nice.
Verify all panels are green again.
We've passed the School of Rock.
Hey, thanks! This helps a lot!
What did we learn?
Oh, I learned that the internet wants people to, like, write their novels for them. Like, dear internet, please write my thing for me.
There are so many people with ideas on the internet.
Or at least most of an idea.
Sort of, kind of, most of an idea.
I learned that just like some people will name drop strangers in conversations to appear like more socially active or interesting, like so many posters on this forum will just mention things that you could not possibly have context for, whether they be characters or locations, and just sort of take it for granted that you will fill in the blanks and create your own understanding of their world. And it's just, it shouldn't surprise me that people here are that delusional, but man, it's never quite get used to it.
Yeah, there was one person who was like, my NaNoWriMo novel is going to be a Wikia that I make about world building my world, and
like how
other people are going to contribute to this Wikia because of
it make my dozer fleet.
Marks.
What I learned is that TV Tropes is just how I left it.
I'm surprised how recent those posts were. That was from this last summer. I'm like, oh god, people are still on this.
Yeah, see, TV Tropes likes to think that it's kind of grown up. Like, there were a couple of posts I found where someone was like, hey, I need help with, like, blah, 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 anime tropes. And one of the responses was like, ah, that's such perfect satire. And it's like, but people are still posting that stuff seriously. Even though that post was obviously a joke, like, they didn't pick up on why it was a joke. and that TV Tropes is still frickin' TV Tropes.
I feel like if these people spent as much time posting on these internet forums as they did actually, like, writing their NaNoWriMo, they'd have finished NaNoWriMos.
There.
That's not a world we could live in, though.
What I learned is that I don't think these people know what fiction is. Like, so much of this stuff is just, hey, write a story for me. Or, hey, I like Harry Potter. Or hey, what's an idea?
I'm gonna be like an old lady here and say that I think some of this is due to fan fiction. There's good fan fiction, which takes, you know, stuff as a starting off point and goes and runs with it and makes new stuff. But then there's fan fiction where basically...
Like Mario Immortal.
But there's fan fiction that basically uses somebody else's established world and framework, so you don't really have to write that because everybody knows it, and then when you go from that to trying to build your own world, it can be a little bit difficult.
Yeah. Between TV Tropes and NaNoWriMo's forums, I found no less than like 5 or 6 threads saying, hey, Harry Potter. And that's my book.
Oh, Harry Potter! Like!
What's incredible is that, like, it's not a thing that I think they're actively trying to do. I mean, we encountered that one thread about the person who tried to write about a boarding school for wizardry and kept being, like, really surprised that it kept turning out like Harry Potter. And it's like, yeah, when those are your only cultural touchstones, the things you make are going to very much resemble those things.
Yeah. What I learned was that people really don't seem to understand that, yeah, what you're making is going to sound an awful lot like Harry Potter, because an awful lot of Harry Potter was based on stories before it that also kind of, you know, built on those same ideas and were just as cliched as they were before that.
It's derivative. There, like, who was it who said there's only like 7 stories you can tell, like basic plots, and it's like, yeah, that's true enough.
That was Lemon. He was pretty drunk.
And if you're drunk, head on over to Bullpit. That's BLLP.IT.
That's the best time to spend your $10.
If you want more from us, head on over to THEFMIN.US. You'll see the lovely episode artwork by Dr. A.
Dr. A.
We also have a Patreon. That's patreon.com/extracredit. If you give $10, you get to hear your name said in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Grass Dragon.
Grass Dragon.
And Pax Morporkia.
Pax Morporkia.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I don't see a cent of that.
Bye!
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 Adios! Dreamboat turns out to be a footnote.
Thank you for cutting that from the final version of this episode.
No, you cut out. We couldn't.
Yeah,
you're still cutting out a lot.
You've been cutting
I'm
out
sorry.
A lot. So
no,
we
not
have not
fault.
Actually
just...
been no-selling your jokes, I promise.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought I was just, like, flat tonight. Thank you.
No.
No, that's me.
It's not you, it's your headphones.